If you would, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. I truly do believe that these times that we are blessed to gather with the Lord's people around the gospel that gives him all the glory. This is as close to heaven as we get in this world. And I sat there thinking, if this is just a foretaste, and it is so good, what will it be like? What will it be like? I love being with the Lord's people. I don't like to pick and choose, because I've always believed that you choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. And I love my family. I want you to look briefly with me, beginning in verse 67. Because the great multitude has just enjoyed the miracle of the fishes and the loaves, and they're feeling fat and fed. Our Lord has turned away from the physical, and he's been speaking words that have to do with the spiritual. He's talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He's talking about how we, if we be the Lord's people, appropriate the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have no interest in those things. And so they begin to walk away. They begin to say, well, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? And when they've all walked away, with the exception of those few disciples, in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Sometimes I feel like that question is being asked to me. Will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Isn't it amazing that the best thing that is to be found in this world has to do with some words? The words. And so Peter says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I believe that we would do well to listen to Peter's words in verse 69. He says, we believe. And I know that there is no middle ground between believing and not believing. We either believe or we don't believe. And though believers grow and increase in faith, that faith which they have at the first is as sure as that faith that they have at the last, if it be true faith. As a matter of fact, Christ describes faith in the New Testament as little faith, great faith, but they're both spoken of as like precious faith, if it's the gift of God. And if we are born of God, we believe. We believe. And we believe not just in the sense of believing, we believe the words. They're more than just words to those who believe. We believe the record that God has given of His Son. We believe, and He says it's accounted unto us for righteousness. We believe God. And when you think about a man like Abraham, who is such a great figure in the Scriptures, and of all that could be said about this man Abraham, the one thing that the Spirit of God repeats more than anything else is this: Abraham believed God. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe, in believing on Christ, we believe what He's said. You can't believe on Christ if you don't know what He said. You can't believe, and you don't believe unless you receive the words as the words of God. As a matter of fact, I tell the folks at home, you really only believe what you know to be true because God said it. In other words, if you just believe something because I said it, and you don't really know from the Word of God that He said it, you believe me. You don't believe God. And so there is no believing apart from the Word of God. And it's just like the woman in John 4, after she went and told the men of the town, and they came out and heard what Christ said. It says that they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." What you said was a means to bring us to truly hear what He said. We've heard Him now, and we believe. And there's something else here too, obviously, and that is, from believing comes assurance. There are a lot of people in this world who say they sure would love to have some assurance. But the truth is, assurance is simply the product of believing. That's what Peter says here. He says, we believe and are sure. We believe and are sure. And I know that there are some who would always ask, can anyone really say that? Can anyone say that we are sure? Well, I know this. Peter did. And likewise, all who believe can. If we believe, we're sure. If we're not sure, we don't believe. And I know this. I know that unbelief does not glorify God. I read a lot of old writers. I read and hear a lot of old testimonies. And it seems like that some think that it's a necessary thing and even a thing to be admired if our confidence is covered with doubt. Oh, I've just got a little hope. There's no such thing as a little hope if it's in Christ. And believing in all reality is itself assurance. That's what assurance is. Is that right? It's believing. And you see, what we find in Scripture is that all who say the things that they say, supposedly to set forth a kind of false piety, it just ain't so. They say things like this. Well, I believe, but I really have, it's not that I doubt God, it's that I doubt myself. Let me tell you this. If at any point you have hope in yourself or ever find any hope in yourself, you're in trouble. You're just really in trouble. And that is not believing. And while the clouds of unbelief may for a time overshadow and even blot out a clear vision of Christ or even the felt presence of Christ, believers still believe. They still believe because faith is the evidence. It is the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't always see by the natural. And in the darkest moment of fear and the most awful moment of doubt, the Word of God remains unchanged. If a cloud flies over, covers this whole building this morning, so as to bring us under a shadow of darkness, that doesn't mean the sun's gone, does it? And there's no way that we could live hardly in this world if even in the natural realm we didn't have some kind of belief and confidence that even though, like it was in my part of the world a few weeks ago, every day rain, 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 cloud, 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 but I lived in a hope that the sun was still there. And then finally one day it came out. But he'd been there all the time. Been there all the time. And that which we believe, that doesn't alter one bit. And the change that takes place, it's always in us. It's never in God. He changes not. And if he changes not, his word and his promises, they change not. And Peter says here, we believe and are sure of what? That we're saved, That we're as sure of heaven as if we were already there? That we are surely chosen? That we are surely redeemed by the blood of Christ? That we are surely born of God? You see, our experiences change, and there's no better example of that than Peter himself. But what was his salvation dependent on? What he thought, or what God said? It's always going to come down to this. Because faith, rather than relying or contemplating or looking constantly at what my experience is, faith believes God. Believes the unchanging Word of God. In other words, it wasn't what he thought or what even appeared to be at this moment. It's what God said. He said, where can we go? You've got the words of life. It wasn't so much what he felt, but it's what the Spirit of God had wrought. And I'm mighty thankful that it was Peter that the Lord used to say this. I always said if there's one fella in the Scriptures that I might could maybe partially a little bit identify, it's this man, this impetuous man, Peter. Shoots his mouth off, makes big boasts and claims and falls flat of his face and all that, and at times seems to be totally, almost a sure candidate for hell itself. So how can he have hope? How could this man ever have a moment confidence? How can this man who denied the Lord Jesus, publicly denied him and sealed his testimony of what appeared to be unbelief by cussing and swearing, how could he have any hope? How could he ever have any peace? By the words. And it doesn't mean that when God gives his people faith, it doesn't mean that they don't ever have any unbelief. The presence of momentary unbelief does not mean the permanent absence of faith. The Lord Jesus said to a man, he said, if you believe, all things are possible. He said, Lord, I believe. But help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And the truth is, not only is faith our assurance, believing our assurance, but it's that way because Christ is our assurance. You see, if he's all, and Scripture says he is, he must be all in election. He must be all in redemption. He must be all in justification. He must be all in sanctification, in calling, in perseverance. He got to be all in assurance too. Is that right? He's all in assurance. If he's all. And what does Peter say? He follows this. He says, we believe and are sure. that you're that Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, it seems that he's saying, we have come to believe and we still believe. We have come to know and we still know. And we're not sure of ourselves, and we're not sure of our circumstances, and we're not sure of all that's going on right here at this moment, and we're not sure of our feelings, and we're not even sure of everything you've said. But we're sure of you. I'm telling you, there's a lot I don't know. As you already have gathered, I'm sure. There is a lot that I do not understand. And there is a lot that I expect to leave this world not knowing. It's like Brother Scott Richardson said, there's some things not even worth knowing. But by the grace of God, and through the words of God, he has taught me, and he teaches all his people by these words that distinguish the true Christ, that we know him. We believe and are sure. I'm sure of one thing else, too. I'm sure that the Christ that I hear spoken of in our day, generally preached, written about, confided in, and confessed before this world, he's not the Christ. He doesn't match the biblical description. He doesn't come and ring true to what we find in this book. How did Peter come to this sureness? You see, this isn't the only time he confesses this. Because as it was in that day, so it is in our day, when our Lord said to these disciples, he said, Who do men say that I am? He said, well, they said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah the prophet, some say you're this, and some say you're that. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what the Lord said to him next? He said, you've been blessed, boy. You have been blessed. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, God, in his mercy to his people, and by the means of his gospel, the true gospel, the word of truth, not by just a few true things. When will we ever come to understand that? If Satan is the great counterfeiter, he will always use some true things. I went to a funeral recently, one of those kind you can't hardly get out of, family member. And here was all of these people in this very ceremonial service. Pastor had the robe on, choirs had the robe on, processional in, all these things like that. And they began by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I listened. It hadn't been all that long before I read reread that to see what it said. And when it got through, I thought to myself, this could be called the devil's creed. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, the devil believes this. A few facts about the fact that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus raised from the grave. These are just true things. They're not the truth. The truth has to do with who it is that really came. The truth has to do with what he accomplished when he came. The truth has to do with what he accomplished or who he accomplished it for. The truth is, what are the consequences and ramifications of that? The truth is, where is he now and what's he doing? And nobody knows that. I mean, knows that. So as to be sure, except those who believe. And they only believe when God enables them to believe the words. Somebody said, well, what do you all do in your service? What do you have for young people? What do you have for the senior citizens? What do you have at this time and that time? I'll tell you what we have. The words. It's all about the words. We gather around the gospel because the only one who will ever have hope, the only ones who will ever have assurance are those who will believe, and they will be the ones who believe the truth. He has chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It's always the words. And this is not only what Peter confessed, it's what Paul taught and confessed. And he said this. He said, I may suffer things for preaching the gospel. I may be in prison. I may be beaten. I may, all these things may happen to me. But he said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You tell some of these preachers in that day, you're ashamed of the gospel. They said, well, I'm not ashamed. I said, I know you're ashamed. Because you don't preach it. If you're not ashamed of something, that's what you preach. I'm married to a good-looking lady. I know she is. I'm not ashamed to take her out in public. She may be ashamed of me, but I'm not ashamed to take her out in public. You're not ashamed of that which is glorious or beautiful, whatever it is. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded by that knowledge, by believing that, by God enabling me to believe on him, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul, what have you committed unto him? Everything. Everything. We believe that you're the Christ. We believe you're the promised Messiah who has made an end of sin and brought in everlasting righteousness. You give it as a gift. We believe that in your gospel is that righteousness revealed, that the words of it are eternal life because they concern you and you alone and your life. We believe that God's record is this, that He's given unto us eternal life, and that life is in His Son, and he that hath the Son hath life. We believe that God is God as He is in every attribute and every aspect of His character. We believe that He is just and the justifier of all that believe in Jesus. We believe that as sin has reigned in death, grace has reigned through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe that. We believe God is holy, infinitely, glorious. We believe that He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of men. We believe that He chose in grace a people and gave them to His Son before the world began. We believe that Christ stood as their surety, their glorious surety, and that in that covenant, that everlasting covenant of grace, He is the mediator, the angel of the covenant. Everything depended on Him. We believe that Christ came into this world for that purpose, on that mission of dying as that surety and as that substitute and saving all those people by Himself and for His glory. We believe on Him. We believe, Peter says, what you say. You know, Brother Scott was mentioned a book by old John Bunyan, very familiar book called A Pilgrim's Progress. And I'd already been thinking about that very thing this morning. Because in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is pointed to a wall. And there's a fire burning beside that wall. And there are men there throwing water on that fire trying to extinguish it. But it seems like the more water they pour on it, the more efforts they make to extinguish it, the bigger the fire gets. And then he looks behind the wall. And there's a fellow there with a vessel of oil pouring oil on it. That's the way it is with the work of God's Spirit. He gives us His Spirit. And the Spirit of God gives us faith. And there is every effort by the devil, there's every effort by the world, always throwing cold water on that fire, if you will, that fire of faith, that fire of grace, always trying to extinguish it. But they ain't never going to put it out. They're just never going to put it out. And you know what the sad thing is? It seems like even I myself try to do that. Sometimes in my failures, in my falls, and in the middle of my faults and all these things, it seems like that I'm telling myself, there's no way you can be a Christian. There's no way you could be one of God's children. There's no way that you could ever believe. Do what you do. Think what you think. Say what you say. Feel what you feel. And so I'm kind of like heaping water on it. No way. And then when it's all passed, you know what? I still believe. People talk about exercising your faith. You don't exercise faith. Faith exercises you. If we have faith, We can't help but believe. Believe me, I've tried. But I still believe. I believe He's the Christ. I believe that His death because of His perfect life, is all my hope. When Paul writes there in Romans and he talks about God justifying, it is God that justifies. Whatever God does, it can't be undone. Next thing he says, it is Christ that died. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And another writer said, now, to have our faith increased, it's only by thinking of all that Jesus is and all He is for us in His life, in His death, in His work. He Himself, as is revealed to us in the Word, the more we think about Him, the more we learn about Him. The more we hear of His glory, the more we study His Word, the more, what was it you said? Faith comes by hearing. And we believe. And that the more we believe, the more assurance we have. Because believing is assurance. And the Scriptures tell us this over and again. It's not what men call easy believism. You don't believe apart from the grace of God. You don't believe apart from being born of God's Spirit. You don't believe apart from the gospel. You see, trusting is believing. And He says, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. But Mark 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John 3:15 says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And faith is not the cause of our salvation. But it is the consequence of our being saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Christ said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It goes on and on. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What is that? The Spirit of God giving us faith to believe what God says. I love an old illustration. I've worn it completely out almost. But it just pictures for me the way this really is. And the story was that Napoleon, you know, he was a little fellow, rode a big horse. Like they say, all hat and no cattle, probably. But he rode a big horse. And so he's riding that horse kind of slow along and looking at the troops, inspecting the troops. And all of a sudden the horse gets spooked and he begins to rear up and buck and fight, about to throw Napoleon off his horse. And a private steps out of the ranks and he grabs that rein of that horse and settles him back down. When he got the horse settled back down, Napoleon looked at him and said, "Thank you, Captain." And so that young man, he just pranced right into the mess tent, the officer's mess tent, to get him something to eat. And they all looked at him and saw what he appeared to be. And they said, "What are you doing in here?" He said, "I'm a captain." He says, "Isn't this where the captains eat?" They said, "Who said you're a captain?" He looked out the tent door and there was Napoleon on that horse and he said, "He did. He did." And when we look at self and we see every other reason to not have hope, to not believe, God's people believe what he said. We believe the words. And through you enabling us to believe the words, we're sure. We're sure this is the Christ. In my early life, I bounced through all the religious thought. But one day, the Lord sent a gospel preacher. He preached the truth. I've found nothing better. I've not found anywhere else to go. I've not found anything that glorifies God and gives this sinner hope but the gospel of the free and sovereign grace of Christ. The gospel of his imputing to me the very righteousness of God in Christ. I've not found anything better than that. So, it's like the hymn writer said, "Keep us, Lord, oh keep us cleaving to thyself. And still believing. Till the hour of our receiving promised joys from thee." You say, how could you have hope? Promised joys in Christ. God bless you.